A few years ago, some colleges and universities were starting to implement a new model for education, the $10,000 degree. But in at least some of these programs, enrollment has been relatively low. To get a sense of where this idea stands now and what its future might be, I'm joined by Eric Helderman, senior reporter at the Chronicle of Higher Education in Washington, D.C. And Eric, first off, let's get some background. Where did this idea come from and how long has it been around?
Well, back in about 2013, Bill Gates happened to be speaking to a group of higher education folks and mentioned the fact that he thought that in a few years, colleges should be able to offer bachelor's degrees for $10,000. And this sort of took off among a number of lawmakers around the country who thought, hey, that's a great idea. Let's see if we can push the colleges, the public colleges in our state, to do something similar, to come up with a plan to offer a relatively low-cost bachelor's degree.
And this is not $10,000 per year, right? This is $10,000 for the degree.
Exactly, yeah. So it's $10,000 for what, you know, we normally think of as at least a four-year pursuit.
How have colleges and universities tried to make this happen?
Well, you know, there have been a number of proposals out there in Texas and Florida, primarily where those governors were involved in the efforts to create this thing. And so what happens is they come up with a plan, and essentially what they do is they have to push the cost of that degree somewhere else. So it really ends up costing someone more than $10,000. Maybe a business picks up part of the cost, or maybe they try to offer more AP classes in high school so that those credits can be transferred to college or something like that. And that's essentially how they get to that sort of bottom line figure of $10,000.
Have these programs been successful? Have students been able to get a degree for $10,000?
You know, from what I understand, the proposals are still very limited. Very few students end up signing up for these plans. It's sort of like a similar idea might be the three-year college degree. That was an idea that was popular for a number of years. And on the surface, it sounds very appealing, but for whatever reason, a large number of students don't really catch on with that idea or don't pursue it.
When you talk about pushing the costs elsewhere, that somebody is picking up some of the difference, it seems like for a lot of colleges and universities, one of the, if not the biggest expense, is instructors, professors, and the like. Did you see that for schools that were trying to offer this $10,000 degree? Did they have more adjunct professors or more online courses, things like that?
Yeah. So, you know, in almost any business or venture of any kind, really, in college campuses, labor is always the most expensive thing, right? So what you're really paying for when you take a college course primarily is the instructor's time. You're also paying for, right, part of the upkeep of that building. And if you're on a big campus, right, maybe you're paying for a little bit of the library costs or the internet access and things like that. So that's, you know, a lot of things go into the cost of a college degree. It's pretty extensive, right, if you're on a big university especially. So one way that folks try to do this is they try and limit the amount of time that an instructor might need. Maybe you take an online course and with a whole bunch of other people, maybe 100 or more people, and so that maybe lowers the cost per person. Maybe you, if you sign up for something like Western Governors University, which offers competency-based education across the country, you have a check-in once a week with an academic mentor, but that person isn't really a college instructor like we think of them.
So does that mean that students who might be pursuing this kind of degree for this cost, I mean, I don't want to say that they're getting what they pay for, but is the degree that they're getting maybe a little less useful or maybe a little less robust than had they been, you know, a full-time student pursuing a more traditional degree?
I wouldn't put it that way necessarily. I mean, if you're, say, you're a student at Western Governors, you get out of it, in essence, what you put into it, right? So the college, the university, sets up these assessments to make sure that you've mastered the material required to move on in that course, to pass that course. And so if you pass the exam, then you've essentially mastered that material, right? What they're getting is they're getting less assistance. So if you're a student that needs a lot of help, and you're paying for a lower cost degree, you might not be getting the help you need to succeed. I think that's the way to think of this.
Is this the kind of thing that schools are still pursuing? I mean, is there a future for this concept going forward?
I think there's constantly going to be pressure for higher education to lower the overall price for the students. You know, there's a general push for everybody, more or less, to have some sort of post-secondary education to get a good job, to get, you know, to find their way into the middle class. So I think that pressure is going to continue, especially as we see states, you know, continue to struggle with coming up with more appropriations for colleges and universities. And that means that if they're not getting money from the state, then there's pressure to raise tuition. So yes, the pressure to lower the price for students is going to continue, I think, for very much for the foreseeable future.
Eric Helderman is a senior reporter with the Chronicle of Higher Education. Eric, thanks a lot.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.